I'm Bill Nash. This has been your CFSI Community Calendar.
Sound art, noise, language art, music, using the narrative. Perspectives on aesthetics and culture, politics and social issues. All components of a challenging half hour. Prepare yourself for an unexpected encounter. Trust no one in disguise. Clowns are scary. Sundays at noon.
You're listening to CFSI, the relaxing, refreshing, an easy listening station.
The following program doesn't necessarily reflect the views or statements of CFSI owners and management. This show is intended for information and entertainment only. Listeners are advised to consult with a professional before making relevant decisions.
If you're thinking of selling your Salt Spring home, call Scott Simmons, Salt Spring Realtor for 1% Realty, Vancouver Island. Over the last 2 years, I've sold 18 homes and my clients have saved literally thousands of dollars in commissions. Why pay full commissions? Sell with 1% Realty. Call Scott Simmons at 538-8316.
Here's another Apple Photo Salt Spring snapshot.
People of Hawaiian descent have a long history on Salt Spring Island. Local natives tell the story how supplies were picked up in Hawaii and the boats took on Hawaiian crews. Rather than pay the crew, they just left them before heading back. And that's how some of the people of Hawaiian descent got to Salt Spring. Come down to Apple Photo on McPhillips and visit us for all your photo printing needs. For your passport photos, personalized image products, digital printing, or scanning, Apple Photo has got it.
Apple Photo, it's alive with history.
Hello, Salt Spring Island. It's Scott Simmons here with the Radio Real Estate Show for today. And I'm waiting for my guest to show up. He's just a little late. It's the 18th of January, 2011. And I've got an update on that leak on the ship that holds the uranium that's docked up at Ladysmith. I actually saw it go by my house. For some reason, I was sitting in my office working away, and I had my video camera right there, and I looked up, and I saw the ship, and it really just looked strange. So I grabbed my camera, and I shot a video of it. I don't know why. And I just thought, it doesn't look like the regular ships going to the Crofton Mill. And come on in, Kerry. Oh, he's not here. Come on in, Kerry. There he is. My guest is just showing up a little late, but he's here. And so I saw the ship, and so I shot a video of it, and now I have it posted on YouTube. If you just type in uranium ship in YouTube, it'll come up, and you'll see the freighter limping by Salt Spring Island. It's just... Hello, Gary. How you doing?
Hi, Scott. Yeah.
You're here. You made it. Here, you want some headsets?
Yeah, thanks.
So, Gary just got to the station, and he's a little late. Back up from the light.
This is, back up. Oh, first time on the radio here. So.
First time on the radio. Now, Gary's going to be hosting a show pretty soon.
That's right. It'll be probably the middle of February.
And it's going to be in Hawaiian music.
Hawaiian music, yeah. These aren't working, actually.
Oh, okay. You want that to work. Come on. Can you hear without it?
I can hear fine, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fine.
So you're going to have a Hawaiian radio music show.
That's right. And
what's the name of your show, Kerry?
Well, I have a tentative name, but I kind of got to run by the boss man here. I'm going to...
Hawaii Five-O?
It's a Hawaiian word. It's a ho'opomokai.
Oh, there you go. Cool.
I'm sorry. Cool. I can't even say it yet. Ho'opomokai.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. So what does that mean?
That means to cause good fortune.
Oh, it doesn't mean Salt Spring Radio in Hawaii.
No, it doesn't. I like the meaning, but we'll see. It might be kind of a tricky word to use to catch on to, so I might get something a little better than that.
Sure. So everything else is going good for you?
Very good, yeah.
So Kerry came by today, and we're going to talk real estate. Nothing too deep or nothing too... everybody's always looking for that secret equation to real estate. Okay, now if I put the lot size in here, the house size in here, the size of the view, I should be able to get this price. Some kind of magical equation. There's no such thing. We're just going to talk in general terms about Salt Spring real estate. There's nothing really specific that we're going to talk about. It's just Kerry's bought and sold a couple places on the island and Tofino.
That's right, yeah. I bought a lot in Tofino a few years back and built a house as an owner-builder. Right. And so that was a good learning experience. I had experience in various trades before, but I learned a lot on the way. And it was
How big was the house, Kerry?
2,000 square feet.
Oh, that's fairly good size.
Two-story, yeah. And had a very, very nice view lot, so a view of the...
Was it right in Tofino?
Right in Tofino.
Right in the... Okay, whereabouts in Tofino, like in this...
It's an easy walk into town, so just outside of town. But there's...
How long were you in Tofino for?
I was there for 4 years.
Oh, really?
So I spent a couple of years building and lived on in a trailer for a good part of the time on the property.
Right.
And then I designed the home to be a vacation rental, so I did for a season.
Are you allowed to do vacation rentals in Tofino?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, it depends on the neighborhood. Where I was, in the neighborhood I was in, it was okay. And so I had to get a business license. And
You get a license. Is Tofino a municipality?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So how did you get the license?
Just right in town. You make your application, and they come by and check what you've got, make sure that everything's above board, and make sure you're not breaking any bylaws or whatever.
What are the kind of rules for a vacation rental?
Well, I guess they just want to make sure your home is legal, there's not an illegal suite, and you have the proper permits for...
And it's safe, and...
Yeah, and I guess it's just... depending on the neighborhood, because there might be restrictions in certain places.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you're in a duplex, there might be might be more restricted than...
Oh, okay.
If you have a full house like I did, you know.
But the Tofino hasn't crumbled because of the vacation rentals.
Crumbled? How do you mean?
Well, here it's illegal to have the vacation rentals.
Like I say, there are restrictions in certain areas. Right. I can't recall exactly what those are, but there are quite a few around, and it's a nice way.
So do you have to live in the house, and you can have a suite? Is that
that's,
the way?
Yeah, that's right. That's one of the stipulations.
So it's kind of like a bed and breakfast in some ways, is it?
Yeah, although
you don't serve food.
I didn't do that, but I would put like a microwave and a little mini fridge.
Oh, okay.
And for their first day, I'd probably have something from the bakery in there, you know.
So similar to our B&B rules, probably in some ways. I guess here, what they don't really want is a standalone house, party house, you know, 14 people rent and go in, and, you know, 18 bedrooms and massive hot tub and, you know, music blaring all night.
Exactly, yeah. So you have to be careful for the neighbors, of course. You
know, right.
You can't be a party house. And
right.
Yeah, the thing you said about you can't be an absentee.
Right, owner, right, right.
So you do have to be on site.
That makes a lot of sense. That you're there, so you're keeping an eye on it anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the last thing somebody wants to be is living beside a house, and, you know, it's all summer long. It's a new group of people, and they're partying every weekend. I mean, that would wear a little thin after about a week or two.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So you were in Tofino for... It took you 2 years to build the house?
Yep, a couple of years. And it took my time, but...
Did you do most of the work yourself?
Most of it myself, and my neighbor was in construction right beside me, so I hired him to help me with the footings.
Right.
And then also things like the trusses, and he and his brothers would help, and we'd lift walls, you know, so a couple of things like that. But for the most part, I did most of it.
Wow. Did you have to opt out of the builder home warranty program, or did you... How did that work?
Well, that's... let's see now. I guess there is still a liability for about 10 years.
Right.
And
you have to declare homeowner builder, I guess.
That's exactly
right. Right.
And so if anything major goes, I guess they can come back.
Right. Now, the big restriction with that is you can't sell within a year, I think. Isn't that how it works? They just changed the rules recently. I think you can't sell within a year of completion.
I wouldn't be surprised, but that didn't apply to me because I'd been there living for a while, so I wasn't sure about that one. But
so then you also lived in Japan.
Yeah, I was in Japan before that, 10 years. And
10 years.
Yeah.
Wow. What did you do in Japan?
I was teaching English there, and I was there just before the big earthquake, and I was actually in the earthquake.
Which one was that?
The Kobe quake in 1995.
Oh, really? So were you in Kobe?
I was in Kobe. Well, no, I'm sorry. Just outside of Kobe. But so there's... The cities kind of wrap around the bay there. So from Kobe down to Osaka. And there's Kobe. And then you have a couple of small cities in between. Nishinomiya. I was in the city of Nishinomiya.
Oh, yeah.
And there were probably about... close to 1,000 people were killed even in the city.
Oh, really? Wow.
So it was quite an experience.
How old was it? What did it hit on the Richter scale? Was it up there?
It was
seven
over
and a half?
Seven. You know, it might have been higher. I forget now exactly. It was most extreme in Kobe itself.
Oh, wow. So something similar to the one that hit down in Chile just a little while ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And that was. Did you ever see the TV show on that where they sent the guys from UBC went down, the engineers went down there right after and surveyed all the buildings?
No, I didn't.
Because the interesting thing is in Chile, their building code is very similar to ours. Mm-hmm. It's basically our building code is a California building code, mm-hmm. and they follow the exact same code.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and with only a few minor differences. And the engineers that went down from BC looked at all the rebar, looked at the buildings, and it was really, really quite an interesting show.
So they were, a lot of the buildings were actually prepared for a big quake.
Oh, yeah, in Chile. Oh, yeah, they're modern buildings. The ones who, the buildings that really got hit the worst were 10 to 15 story condo buildings that had, you know, maybe two solid walls and then one wall of all glass, uh-huh. and then maybe a jutting wall on the other side. Anything that was, the square rectangular boxes stood up, but anything that had these modern angles, it really makes you think about some of those condos in Richmond, you know, with the big glass facades and everything.
Right. Well, in Japan, a lot of the deaths occurred in the old wooden structures.
Oh, the old wood.
Old traditional Japanese homes. And
really?
Yeah, and
they catch fire?
You know, they're kind of like a post and beam style, but they have their unique ways of building with them. You know, they're quite the expert style and very unique to Japan, a lot
right.
of their the way they build. But many of those homes were very old, and just being a wood, you know,
right.
wood breaks down over time, and a lot of those just collapsed instantly, and so a lot of people were... And
oh, really?
I had
That's
friends
awful.
That were... I lived in one long before the quake, and I had friends I was renting a room from, and actually a girl who moved in after me was killed in the quake in that house, but,
wow.
but the others survived, you know, but they were just... It was just a pile of lumber they had to crawl out of, you know.
Well, where were you during the quake?
I was in Nishinomiya, and that... my friends were in the city of Ashiya, which is it's the city closer to Kobe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So where were you exactly? Like, what happened?
I was in a one-room apartment, a very typical small style.
Right.
You know, I progressed from there, but that's when I first came to Japan, and I had my own one room, then a little bathroom, a little kitchenette. So
right.
quite tiny, but, you know, you have the futon, you roll out.
And for those of you that don't know Kerry, he's a big man. So you were in this little tiny apartment. Then what happened? You were just sitting there, or what were you doing?
Well, it was the quake happened at 6 in the morning.
So you were sleeping?
Yeah, and it was a two-story building. I was on the bottom floor. Fortunately, the building didn't collapse. But the quake, it must have been, it woke me up, so I don't know how long it was going before I actually woke up. But
so when you woke up, what did you think?
Well, immediately, you know, we were in an earthquake.
Oh, really?
But my immediate thought was, it will stop.
Was the bed shaking up and down in the
walls? Well, it was a futon on the floor. And no, it was so violent, I couldn't get up.
Really?
No, I couldn't get up. And but
So the whole futon was just kind of...
No, it was more like you're throwing back and forth.
Oh, really? Yeah, so sliding back and forth across
the room. Yeah, and then, you know, things were slamming against the wall, you know, just...
Did you have bookshelves or anything like it come down? Did they?
Yeah, a lot of stuff came down, and...
Oh, wow.
It was very violent, yeah. And right. There's no way you could get up.
So your dishes were coming out of the cupboards? And
yeah, it was a mess. Yeah, and it was dark, though, too, so I couldn't see exactly what happened.
Oh, the power was out, so you're in this dark little...
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have a window? Oh, I guess it was dark outside, too.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But you know, like I said, my immediate thought was it's going to stop, and it did, and I just scrambled for my pants and got out as fast as I could. And
where did you go out to the street?
Just outside the building, you know. And then
was everybody standing?
A lot of people, yeah. Everybody's kind of stunned and just walking around in shock.
Was there damage right when you got out?
There, well, they have these the homes in my immediate area weren't. There was no fallen homes.
No.
But they have these kind of concrete walls for privacy. They go
right.
quite high, and they're. It's not a very good design, and a lot of those just collapsed.
Fell right over.
Yeah, so there's a lot of those falling over. But the train station that I would use, and that's your common mode of transportation in Japan, which is it's a good system they have. But at the train station, I would take. There were a couple of multi-story buildings that had toppled.
Oh, really? Wow.
And also apartment buildings. What happens? you've got maybe a 10-story apartment building, and the building is kind of weaving back and forth, and so right where it's weaving the most, that's the weakest point.
It breaks, yeah.
And it breaks, and so you've got maybe in the
compression.
Middle, or closer to the bottom of the building, there's collapsed.
Right. Stone. Well, that's where they say the underground parkades, you know, they take all the walls out because they want to maximize parking, and then they've made it really a weak structure, and all the weight sitting on that bottom two floors of this kind of artificially weak underground parkade, and that's where they compress. Boom.
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in fact, in the city of Kobe, I recall...
Did you go into Kobe right after?
No, well, the train lines were broken, you know, and I don't know if you recall, but freeways actually fell.
Oh, really?
You know,
well.
The freeways,
so you couldn't move it.
Well, the main, like the secondary highway going into, going down, it was, eventually, I guess, things were clear and they could use that, but it was just really slow going. And there was just all kinds of people walking along the sides of the road with bicycles, you know, and they've got water and think, trying to get stuff, you know, to survive, basically, because, you know, it took a while for them to get in. For
help. So they were just getting it, walking out of Kobe, kind of.
Well, people were just walking everywhere. I mean, that's
right.
Yeah, because you couldn't drive, you know.
Right.
So there was just people everywhere, you know.
I guess people want to go home, they're working or wherever.
Yeah, yeah. And
so how long after did you live there, after the quake happened? Were you there for a few years after?
I was there for a few years, yeah. And a lot of Westerners left at that time. I guess whatever their living situation was, I guess they lost that, and they just it freaked them out, so they left.
So how long did it take to rebuild a lot of the infrastructure? Was it like 2 years, 3 years?
They're pretty quick in Japan. You know, a year later, you know, you could still see evidence of stuff in certain pockets, but they're pretty quick.
Oh, really?
To get things going, yeah. But I mean, initially it takes a while, of course. But
right.
So there was a. They have these man-made islands all around the Osaka Harbor, you know.
Oh, really?
And like the new Kansai Airport is on a man-made island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's just one example, but
sure,
there are other ones as well. And you could see this one particular island. You could see the just dump trucks continually taking loads of debris, you know, for months after, you know.
Oh, really?
Because just for cleaning up all the destroyed stuff, you know, and even like the huge freeway that fell over, you know, a lot of that has to be broken up and taken away. You know?
So in the next week or so, did you have water for the next week?
Well, there was fire hydrant. So
and that worked?
I would take a big bucket, put on the back of the bike, go down the fire hydrant, and we could fill up there and then bring it back to the apartment.
Right.
And there was actually... A lot of people were desperate to get supplies because stuff wasn't coming in quickly, but I rode my bike down back streets and I actually found some mom-and-pop shops, and I could still get a few things, you know, load up, make sure I had it.
So did you have enough food then?
Yeah.
Did you have any food
fine.
In your apartment before, kind of?
Like? I didn't go without. And it doesn't... There was a few days it took, I guess, before things got... they got supplies in, but there was... It was pretty chaotic, and the Japanese government at that time were... They were actually turning down help they should have accepted, you know.
Really?
That was a big kind of news story at the time. But
see, that's my thing about the ship up in Crofton, or up in Ladysmith. You know, the government inspectors are up there, and I'm sure when they walked onto the ship, the first thing they said was, "We're with the government, and we're here to help." It's always the fatal last words. It's like the kiss of death. Oh, no, the government's here. We're screwed now. Every man for himself. Run.
That's right.
You know, I mean, the government, you know, you really, you know, and that's
so much
why,
red tape, you know?
Yeah, and that's why, you know, the earthquake kits are probably a good idea to have in your house.
Right? Absolutely, you know, and I guess, you know, after what I've been through, I should have one in hand, but I don't. I got a 600-gallon tank of water, so I'm good, actually.
And you've got some food. And what would you have in your emergency kit if you were going to make one?
Well, obviously a water supply, drinking water, and some canned goods, flashlight.
Like right after, was everybody kind of desperate for news? Did you need, like, were people listening to local radio stations or anything like that? Like, how did
the radio was kind of interesting. They'd be, and there was some English because there's a lot of expats in Japan too. And what was the phrase they said? There was this kind of
steady message.
They had this message that would be, recorded by somebody in a calming voice saying, you know, something to the effect of, you know, things are rough now, but they will get better, you know.
Right.
And it was kind of an encouraging thing to hear once
I
got the radio.
You know, the world is not coming to an end.
Yeah.
Stay home, relax, you know.
And then TV, I had TV, and every station was earthquake coverage, of course.
Right, you know? Right.
And some English, but I mean, it was pretty self-explanatory, even the images you're seeing, you know. And
you need an earthquake kit. A radio would help.
Radio, of course, yeah.
Like right. Have some batteries and a little radio,
right?
And some way of charging up the batteries too. Maybe they have those little hand cranks now. I wonder if those would work.
Those are good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know that Salt Spring would be as bad off. I think cities are where things can get difficult.
You know? Oh, really?
But here, you know, I mean, maybe roads might get damaged, but I mean, people. Kind of help their neighbors here, you know,
right.
And it's a small community, so I think things would get under control pretty quick here, depending on the size
right.
of the earthquake.
Well, my theory is you don't want to live in Richmond, B.C. I mean, I'm not slagging Richmond, but I wouldn't live there.
That's right. Might be underwater for the dikes.
I mean, when I was a kid growing up in Vancouver, you know, my dad worked all over the city, so we'd go out to Richmond, and my dad looked at me and said, why are they building houses out here? Don't these people know this whole area, if we get a big quake, it's going to flood?
Right, right.
And I'm like, you know, that was like 30, 40 years ago, my dad was saying, you know, like, in a big quake, you know, the dikes will liquefy because they're built on sand, and mm-hmm. they'll sink. And if you had a high tide at the same time, all the water rushes in, floods Richmond.
Right.
The
right.
houses collapse, so you got this massive flood, and only, you know, that's going to be ground zero for, you know, for the next big earthquake, I think, Richmond.
Yeah, well, it's
you know, I think on Salt Spring, like you said, we'll do okay. You know, if everybody has a little bit of stuff, some water, food, flashlights,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But, you know, the thing is, too, it depends where that quake is centered, because...
Right.
I mean, Kobe got hit hard.
Right.
And Osaka's not very far. Like, if I get on the train in Kobe, it takes me an hour to get to Osaka.
Oh, so you were that... How far? Like, 100 kilometers? Or?
I would say about that.
Oh, yeah. So... Wow.
And so it's not far. And now, Osaka, they certainly felt it, but there was virtually no damage in Osaka, except for, I guess, maybe people's dishes or things like that
right.
would fall. You know, because I had friends in Osaka, and they, you know, they certainly knew they went through a quake.
Well, how far were you from the Epic Center?
I would have been from Kobe about, 50K, something
oh,
like
okay.
that. Yeah.
See, my theory is, you know, that there is a God in this world, and every once in a while he's up in heaven, and he's kind of bored, right? And he goes, oh, what am I going to do today? Hey, there's a mobile home park. Let's see how mobile it is. And, you know, he'll shoot a tornado down at the mobile home park. And, you know, he's probably sitting up there going, look at those idiots building in Richmond. You know, I remember 40 years ago, a guy said to his son, why are they building those houses? And just to prove fact, watch this, I'm going to push the earthquake button. And, you know, it'll just sink. Like, you know,
But then again, if it's close to
close.
There, you know, like if
yeah.
it's maybe there might be something closer to Seattle that goes, you know,
oh,
and,
yeah.
and we won't feel it very
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a liquefaction that is really the
yeah.
scary thing, especially if
yeah.
you get, you know, if it's built on sand and silt.
Right.
You know, a friend of mine does construction in Vancouver. And I saw him probably a year or two ago, and I asked him what he was up to, and he was working in Richmond on mm-hmm. condo buildings. And I said, oh, well, I didn't think that you could build condos in Richmond. How do you guys...